the Americans, they give the green light for the Israelis to start all of these operations, as Hala summarized that, from the West Bank to the Gaza Strip. And now they give him, first of all, the attack on Gaza. They give the Israelis, the Americans, Americans give to the Israelis 1 week, and then they extend it for another week. And now, when the if we remember, they were ready, the Americans, to come and straight away broker the ceasefire, which was proposed by Egypt and written by Tony Blair, that proposal. But the resistant refusal for that put them in an awkward position. And then the Israelis start, their casualties is mounting, and they were begging the Americans to do something. And here we can find why John Kerry is coming and want to use his Arab tools in the area to pressurize the resistance. But the Palestinian resistance, up till now, putting them in a very difficult position, since the leadership of the resistance, trust me, they are not answering even the phone calls they are receiving from the Arab side, since they know the Arabic side want to impose on them that kind of ceasefire, which means surrender at the end of the day. And the Americans, from that, they want to save the Israeli soldiers, since the Israeli society and the Americans will be worried to see the casualties mounting, 30 soldiers lost, dead, and hundreds of them injured, and still the count mounting. That's what the Israelis acknowledge. We don't know yet the true figures, since the Israelis have the habit of hiding their figures. So America is worried to see its investment in the Middle East, its advanced base, Israel called, getting destroyed on the ground by a resistance groups whose their fighters is determined to inflict the maximum casualties, exactly of a repeat of the scenario of 2006, when Hezbollah caught their tanks and made their soldiers scream and killed many of them. The same thing happened in Gaza. They couldn't spot where's the Palestinian resistance coming at them. Okay, they're telling you the tunnels, and they couldn't even find tunnels. All what they got and destroyed is the training tunnels, as the resistance declared. And still, the Palestinian resistance come to them or from the tunnels inside, behind their lines, and inflict maximum casualties. That kind of scenarios, which reminds the Americans, who understand it better than the Israelis, with the scenario in Vietnam, which they, the Vietnamese, inflicted heavy casualties in the Americans. Lots of their soldiers disappeared. Lots of their American soldiers killed because of such a network of tunnels in Vietnam. And that imposed heavy casualties and pushed the Americans back till the day the Americans left. So the Americans know this story better than the Americans, the Israelis here. They tried to save their skin.
Right. Well, let me ask you, Dr. Riad Bassoun, about this push by the U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, in essence being in Egypt, trying to figure out a strategy to bring about a ceasefire. I mean, what does the U.S. have in terms of a sway? I think the only thing at this point is the fact that they resumed their military aid to Egypt, because they don't really have much hope in this case. You have Egypt in the picture. You have Qatar, possibly. And we know that Egypt and Qatar don't exactly get along, and there seems to be that friction on one side. But at the same time, Egypt has to be part of this. They are not particularly too cordial when it comes to Hamas, based on the way that they've deemed the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist entity. Do you foresee any type of hope in a ceasefire to come about with the different players involved, since the dynamics and the regional formulas are not the same anymore?
Well, as you just said, and my colleague from Egypt said, yes, there will be a ceasefire at a point. However, I don't see it very soon now, because the intention here is to weaken, of course, Hamas. And Hamas today is not weakened enough, at least from the Israeli standpoint, and maybe probably from the Egyptian standpoint. And here, not to put any blame on Hamas leadership, However, there is absolutely a necessity when this will be over that they revisit their strategic about the alliances and maybe revisit what happened towards the Syrian regime and maybe Iran and Hezbollah. But this is a different story now, I know. However, in the perspective of a ceasefire, I don't see it very, very early because as I said, there is an opportunity for Israel, supported by many Arab countries, to weaken Hamas and blow Hamas with very hard hits. And I think they will do it, at least they will try to do it, and the US will support that move, and many other parties and players will support that move. And unfortunately, let's never forget that those who suffer from these calculations and these politics are the population. And not forgetting also that Israel is not very happy with the fact that the negotiation between Iran and the 5+1 group have somehow succeeded, even if it has been delayed. The final announcement of the closing is delayed. However, Israel, they want now a compensation for this success, which they hadn't planned for many years. They have advocated a more aggressive stand against Iran, and now it's over. And maybe the compensation is to give them the possibility to undertake what they are undertaking now in Gaza.
Very well. Halas al-Safadi, quickly, we just saw in the past minutes the fact that I'm looking at the screen, 604 Palestinians killed. That's a jump of about 16 Palestinians. Is this because of airstrikes, or are we looking at perhaps the injured in hospitals to have passed away? Do you have information on that?
Well, I just got some breaking news on my cell phone, but I cannot confirm it right now. But there are a number of airstrikes in Rafah area, and there are news of people who are injured and killed. Where exactly, and if I cannot really confirm it at the moment. I will update you as soon as I get information. But definitely a number of people who are injured or are critically injured are also dying, and this would add up really quick to the death toll, as we already know.
Very well. Saab Shaath, let's put things into perspective here. This operation is at this point maybe halfway through, if you want to compare it to the...
I'm not hearing you. Can you repeat the question? I'm not hearing you.
Sure. Can you hear me right now?
Yes.
Very well. We're looking at three operations, 2008, 2012, and this one. What is it going to take to break this cycle? Because this is now indeed a cycle of which you have lots of Palestinians that are being killed. It appears that Israel needs to do this, but the core of what's involved here is a question of land. Obviously, that is something that has not been successfully addressed and needs to be addressed in order to stop the cycle. We're looking at the occupied territories. How can this be solved if at this point it hasn't? Are we going to keep looking at a cycle that appears to happen every few years?
You touch a very important point, Seher. The Palestinian people in Gaza, anyone I'm talking to, a child, a senior citizen, anyone in Gaza, they say one major factor in here, they don't want to go to the status quo used to exist before the war whatsoever. What price Gaza have to pay to lift the siege, to impose their freedom, which they won in the year 2005 without siege, and open the borders and have their ports and airports under their control and sovereign Gaza, whatever the political system they want to do, whatever the agreements they're going to do, but the Palestinians don't want to go back to the status quo. The other thing in here, we have to look, they are the ones who are victimized by an Israeli continuous aggression. The Israelis have to leave Gaza alone right now, and they're not going to do the job for the Americans and for the Arabs, and as well for their right-wing government to try to destroy the resistance spirit, which is now inflamed in the West Bank again by destroying Gaza. That is the main thing. They want to destroy the resistance in Gaza, disarm it. That's what they are after. And then Mahmoud Abbas can come to the Gaza Strip, free for him to rule, and they have the Palestinian who's submissive to the Israelis' occupation. That will never happen, ever, ever again. The Palestinians now, they want to impose their will again against the Israelis. They won their freedom, and they are not going to go back. That is the minimum. They, don't forget, there is 1 million Palestinians displaced in Gaza Strip right now. Lots of eastern cities of Khan Yunis, from Beit Hanun and the middle of Gaza and east of Rafah, destroyed, totally destroyed by their bombardments and their artillery and their infantry units. So the Palestinians paid a very heavy price, and that's what keep the resistance steadfast in here, and they are not going to accept any less than the condition they put forward to anybody who's going to broker a ceasefire. They accept their conditions, they lift the siege, and then the resistance can see what they're going to do. But the victims are the Palestinian people. They have paid a very high price this time, and they are not going to surrender at all.
And my final question is going to go to you, Dr. Riyad Bassoun. The media has played a major role in shaping the public opinion here, and I'm talking about the Western media, and much of them have been criticized for being biased, and the narrative is not being spelled out as to why this is occurring, and pretty much weighed in on the Israeli side. How detrimental a factor has the media played in this obvious disproportion of war?
Well, I think that, again, the situation is now extremely difficult and dubious, because I don't see that a negotiation conducted now will give Hamas the terms that Hamas would be ready to accept. At the end of the day, the big players
I'm so sorry. I got to jump in here, Dr. Riyad Bassoun. We're just unfortunately out of time here. I do apologize. I didn't realize the time was flying by so quickly. Thank you very much for your comments, though. Dr. Riyad Bassoun there, political commentator there from Beirut. And, of course, we have Dr. Saab Shaath, author, Middle East affairs expert and analyst, talking to us from Belfast, and our correspondent, Halal Safadi, who spoke to us from the Gaza Strip. Do stay with us. In a few minutes' time, we'll be giving you international news. Bye-bye for now.